Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. It is Sunday, Easter Sunday, here in the United States. I guess Easter everywhere, right? I don't know.
Sure, it's a Christian holiday, so you've certainly got pockets of Christianity all over the world. But FPL has risen, Josh. It is back after the final international break of the season. Watching matches this weekend was... It's funny, like, you get really amped up, you're excited that the Premier League is back after a break, and then you remember, oh, right, the first weekend after an international break is always weird.
Right, and a lot of rotation, and
And it plays havoc on fantasy, and there was, like, no better illustration of the weirdness of coming back from an international break than kicking things off with Chelsea-West Brom, and West Brom pulling off some sort of insane 5-2 victory. So right from the off, you're thinking, what does this FPL game week have in store for us? And like, flash forward to Sunday night when we're recording, we're kind of like hitting some sort of like, bog standard average game week. You and I both captaining Harry Kane, we have to feel super positive going into the Monday fixtures. And it looks like I'm on a little green arrow for a little 20K rise. But on the whole, I think we're going to have to really hash out what are the takeaways so far, because as we're going to discuss in this pod, so many people hitting that wild card and trying to game the final stretch of the season.
Yep. So this is a really wild card focused episode of the podcast. Whether you're going to wild card in game week 31, 32, 33, maybe later, I don't know, 34, like maybe just don't even use it, Brandon.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. I feel like I can do more harm than good playing my wild card.
I know. And we saw that a little bit in game week 30, I think. I mean, I think of our friend, the general, who I think very intelligently and kind of boldly played it early and went triple Chelsea, which is something I had sort of advocated for you. I was like, hey, Brandon, maybe you want a wild card early and go all in on Chelsea. I mean, you know, just first of all, a red card just is such a spanner in the works, right? I mean, they were up 1-0, fairly in control of that match. And
it's a butterfly effect happening with the Thiago Silva red card.
Exactly. So I think it, you know, I don't think anyone who has Chelsea defenders should feel like, once that was over and like once the first goal was conceded, and then the second one was kind of like a shocker, right? It happened like a minute later.
Yeah.
And at that point, like the wheels are off, right? It's like everything. And there was this Rudiger situation too. Apparently there was some, you know, some controversy, a bust up with Kepa. Like, so Kepa just continues to wreak havoc on everybody.
He's going to sink that Chelsea ship if it's the last thing he does.
Yeah.
Who's going to win? I mean, honestly, who's going to win with club management there between Kepa and Rudiger? Like, obviously Rudiger is not the problem here,
but Rudiger was the one who didn't get to play. I mean, I guess Kepa didn't play either, but yeah, just a strange game week all around. And I think you're right. I mean, as far as, you know, both of us are doing, I mean, I ended up having, you know, a pretty good game week. The one transfer I made, I brought in Son, and that didn't work out, but that, you know, it was a really weird game week for press conferences because Jose Mourinho was basically like, Son is healthy and he'll be selected. So I was like, I didn't know that meant like selected for the bench. I thought that meant like he was going to start.
Yeah. That's just a signal to the kit man. All right, kit man, make sure we've got a jersey with Son's name on the back.
I guess so. Yeah. And then Dean Smith for weeks now has said that Grealish is healthy and he's going to be starting this weekend.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh no, he pulled up a little bit in training yesterday. And I was
actually, he's like gangrenous all over his body right now. Yeah. He may never play football again, Josh.
I feel like I didn't actually see him say this, but I feel like he had that WandaVision wink, you know, the Catherine wink. Yeah. I mean, Grealish, but he's just not going to play again this season. Right. I feel like that's what we're looking at now. It's going to be every week. Dean Smith says he's going to be back, and every week, you know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, both of us got a Watkins goal in the end, so we can't really complain there.
Sure. And, you know, all the whole time, though, we should have been on El Ghazi. Watkins is such a divisive character. He's a divisive character on this podcast. And then you seek out FPL chatter online, and people are continually divided about Watkins. And I think that goal isn't going to help the conversation because it's just a classic, okay, that's the striker's job to be in the right place at the right time. You can call it a poached goal if you want, but that's the brief if you're Ollie Watkins to be there. But so then you've got the people who are saying, come on, it's a tap in, forget it. But then the other people who are saying that's just Ollie Watkins playing his position correctly. So, I mean, 11 goals now for him on the season. I'd say that's a big win for Mr. Watkins.
Yeah. I mean, the Grealish thing really has to get resolved, though, because, I mean, personally, the transfer I have this week, I'm very seriously considering dropping Watkins for Danny Ings, who plays West Brom this weekend. We could talk about that more a little bit later, but you know, in the end, 59 points, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm actually up into the top 10K now. I'm at 70. It says my overall rank is 7,700, but
nice.
I think when you include auto subs, I think I'm down to 8,200 or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, officially into the top 10K, which is a really good feeling, especially because I still have a wild card and the triple captain to go. So I had sent out this post earlier this week about what our goals are for the season, you know, like a realistic goal and a stretch goal, because I like to pretend that I'm the HR department of fantasy.
Running a SWOT analysis.
Exactly. I wanted repeat backs from everybody once I talked with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, my stated goal is 5K and then the stretch goal is 2K. So, you know, and with only 9 game weeks to go, everyone is obviously really big. So that, you know, I'm really happy about that. And you and I both have the same two players tomorrow. We have Lingard and Cresswell. And I think that'll be a really interesting match, West Ham Wolves. I think that could be really, I don't want to talk about it too much because obviously by the time this pod comes out, the match will be kicking off shortly thereafter.
Right,
But I think that'll be really an interesting match.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on 51 points right now. My transfer was bringing in Jesse Lingard, the man that you just mentioned. So everything to gain from this West Ham Wolves match, hopefully. And Mendy in goal, a zero pointer for him is probably like the biggest finger in the eye of the game week. But as mentioned, getting the captaincy with Harry Kane in that flurry of FPL points against Newcastle, you can't complain. For me, my Watkins this coming out of this game week is Patrick Bamford. And Bamford looked diabolical against Sheffield United. And you could tell that Bielsa was clearly wasn't happy with Bamford. And I to be frank, Josh, haven't been happy with Bamford for quite a long time now. And I think I can stomach Watkins for a few more weeks. Bamford is definitely on the chopping block. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about what I have in mind for him.
For Watkins, is it just because he has the double to come? I mean, because I feel like Bamford is still, I mean, he had a goal and assist just last week in game week 29. You know,
And
these are the more attacking team, I feel like, too.
I just think Bamford is the weaker link than Watkins. And I hear you. He's got recent returns. But just watching him over the last 6 weeks or so, I think despite of the returns, his form has been dipping. And he's had the dead leg issue and all of that. Right. And Watkins, while Villa have really struggled to score goals, and Watkins, as discussed, is divisive, I do not see that Watkins' form has dipped. He's still the same player. Right. I don't think Bamford is the Watkins is the same player from 6 weeks ago. I do not think Bamford is the same player from 6 weeks ago. I feel like he's dipped and he may be cash. And if you look at the next three fixtures for Leeds, right, it's really tough. So I feel like there's more upside to bring in somebody to replace Bamford as my weakest link as opposed to Watkins.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Villa do have West Brom in a couple of game weeks. So even if you weren't thrilled about playing Watkins for Liverpool and Man City, you know, if you have other, you know, if you have enough squad depth where you can maybe bench him for the next two. And that Liverpool away match, I mean, who even knows, right? He scored a hat trick at home to Liverpool in game week 31. Now they don't have Virgil van Dijk to kick around anymore. You know, they've got Kabak, totally different story. So, you know, we'll see. But all right, so that's where we are on the game week. And I think we should get right into this wildcard talk because we've got a lot of different things to cover there.
Great.
And I think, you know, again, even if you're not wildcarding this week, I think the discussion will really be about squads and how we sort of assess where we are with Leicester, where we are with Liverpool, where we are with Chelsea, right? We've already talked about them a little bit. And then Spurs. Ugh. Like, we have to talk about Spurs. I don't really want to either, but let's grit our teeth and get through it.
Sure.
But a quick shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. If you want to support the podcast, and it's early in the month right now, which makes it a great time to do it, try it for 1 month. If it doesn't work out for you, just cancel. We will never bother you about it again.
Sure. Transfer in, transfer out. No problem.
Exactly. So go to patreon.com/always cheating. That's the no pressure plea there. Thank you to our new patrons this week, Dave Ziner and Simon Davidson. And as a reminder, you get an extra podcast each week. And I feel like Brandon, our Patreon podcasts have been as good, if not, dare I say, better than the main feed.
Yeah. Well, there's less pressure. You know, we don't have millions of people listening to us when we do our Patreon podcast. Yeah. So we're a little bit more our true selves, for That's better true. Or worse.
We call them the kitchen table podcasts for a reason, right? There's an intimacy to those podcasts. You also get to chat with people on the Slack. You get the Week in Review newsletter courtesy of Mini League Mate. At the higher tiers, you get Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt. Yes, at any level you get a discount on all merch, by the way. So go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for that. Let's take a break. We'll get back and talk game week 31. All right, Brian, we're back. First question is from Joaquin. A little table setting question here. He says, many people will play their second wild card now. He says, how would your ideal wild card look if you were to play it now? And so before we even get to that, what is your thinking right now? Actually, let me ask two questions because I think they're tied together. What is your goal for this season? When I mentioned my goal earlier on, I was rude, Brandon. I won't lie. I was rude. And I didn't ask you what your goal was. Realistic goal and your stretch goal. Because I think what your goal is for the season really defines when you play that wild card, right? If you're 250K overall and your goal is top 10K, I guess you've got a wild card like right now, right? And just go with like all like crazy differential players and hope that all your low ownership folks bang it, right?
Yep. My goal is top 100K to get a 5-digit rank, and I'm struggling to determine whether or not. So I'm around 250K right now. I'm trying to figure out if 100K is the achievable goal or the stretch goal, because you get into the final stretch in that echelon and you're it's like the pile up of zombies in World War Z. You're just like climbing over other people and the pile gets higher and higher and higher. So I do think it's really tough to climb that much rank this late in the season. But that's the goal. My question, my problem with planning the wild card right now is, if I were to play it tomorrow or if I were to play it in game week 33, I don't know what it would look like. And that's maybe me being unimaginative, but I feel like we've been in a place for the last couple of months where there have been few surprises. And the only surprises have kind of been the failures of certain assets. Now, of course, you can look at genuine surprises like Jesse Lingard and West Ham generally. And you could also say, well, you know, just apply yourself. And if you would have brought in Marcus Rashford, which didn't take a huge amount of imagination to envision Marcus Rashford being a decent asset. But I feel like it takes a certain amount of courage that I don't know that I have to just totally rejigger my team so that I can bring in the likes of Rashford. So my feeling right now where I am is I'm kind of going step by step. Diogo Jota seems like a pretty easy move and one that could, if he continues his form, could help you climb rank. Do I need to wildcard to bring in a low price asset like Jota? No, I don't. I can bring him in for Rafinha, and that's not an issue. So my goal and where the wild card helps me, I am totally unclear on that at the moment.
That's really interesting. So, you know, because we talked about a little bit in last week's podcast, I think you were a little up in the air about it. So I feel like we have sort of come in somewhere. Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't know if this is too meta of a question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you think that if we didn't have this podcast, you would be more likely to wildcard? Like, if, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, kind of having the top 100K, you know, there's a kind of like, you know, like there's a little bit of like content creator, like you want to sort of, you don't want to have, like I talked to last week about having this kind of dark stain, this really bad season from a few years ago and how much I hate that I have it there, you know? Yeah. Do you think that if you didn't have one, you might be a little more inclined to wildcard? Like, let's say like, you know, you didn't really care about your overall rank. You were, you know, eighth place in your league and you wanted to get in the top three. Like maybe that's where the cash is in a cash league, right? Yeah. Do you think maybe then you'd be a little more likely to take some risks and wild card? I mean, maybe it's just not your personality.
Right? I don't think it is my personality. I think that I am more the benchmark person. You know, I love the idea of in an old home, you've got that one doorway where there is a little pencil notch for each inch that you've grown. And I think that's wonderful because you can go back and look at it. And I find my game week history, and it's less that podcast listeners can go and look at my game week history because it's not going to blow anyone's hair back. It's not super impressive. But for me, I just like to see consistent, okay, I grew this much that season. I grew this much that season.
I mean, don't sell yourself short though either. I mean, you have, you know, many good finishes. Like it's not like, you know.
Right. Yeah. And like the one thing that has eluded me is a top 10K finish. Like that would be my next ultimate goal. You know, you get that top 10K finish and then you pursue the top 1K finish. So yeah, I would love that to happen. And you do have to stretch, you have to do uncomfortable things sometimes have to do very bad things to get yourself to that rank. And clearly the way I'm talking about my feeling about the run-in is sort of exposing why I can fall short of those benchmarks because I can be less courageous. I don't care for the dullard moniker because that's sort of like I intend to be dull. No, you kind of intend to be great always. Right. What you end up being is less courageous.
I mean, I think part of it is, I mean, if you want to phrase it in a different way, it doesn't get into these courage questions, which, you know, no one wants to sound like they're not courageous, you know, but like, I mean, I think part of it is like, if you're going to wild card and be really aggressive and make up a lot of ground, what you have to be is really imbalanced. Right. I don't think like, you know, it's like if you wild carded right now and you were going to be aggressive, you would have an imbalanced squad. Right. Like if I was wild carded right now and I was trying to make up like 67 points or whatever, right? I'd be like, all right, I'm going to triple up on Liverpool, right? I'm going to have Mane, Salah, and Jota, you know? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to hope that they blow a bunch of teams out in the next few weeks. I'm going to bring in two Wolves defenders. You know, I'm going to, like, whatever. Have
I hear you.
You know?
So I'll just jump in and say I think that is a clear approach, a clear aggressive approach to climb. And I feel like to do that, you have to believe something. And the issue that I'm having in this specific moment, in this specific season, is I don't believe anything. I look at Liverpool and, they had a really great result against Arsenal. I'm closer to believing that, maybe a Liverpool approach on a wild card would be something that could help you climb rank. But I'm still, this season has been really challenging in terms of just convincing yourself that you believe anything in terms of what team is going to consistently deliver anything apart from Ruben Diaz just out there cleaning teams for fun. So I think that is when I will know it's time to wild card. I'm just going to wait for the wild card to come find me, but I will know when it's time, when it's dawned on me that I actually believe something that either is unconventional or I just kind of believe is going to be true. I'm just sort of like waiting for that moment.
I think the other issue with game week 31 is I find that Man City Leeds match to be like a little bit of a banana peel. Like I really think it's a hard one to prep for because, okay. So we did have some heavy rotation this week, but let's say did Kevin De Bruyne end up playing the full 90?
He was subbed off when he basically the red mist descended where Amarte was like just throwing like haymakers at him weirdly. And VAR was like, that's fine. That's totally cool. Okay. And KDB turned beet red and Pep got him off the pitch. Okay. So, but he effectively played the full 90. I think it was maybe intended that he would.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So anyway, he pulled late in the match. He's almost certainly going to start at midweek, right? So he's at 180 minutes. I think there's at least a chance he doesn't play this weekend, right? I know, of course, you can overthink this, but but with 8 weeks to go on a wild card, you know, it's like all of these things were just like And the other tricky thing here, and you know, maybe we'll eventually get to some questions here, but I like where this conversation's going. So let's keep going.
Follow
down
the
this
thread.
Road
keep
for
pulling.
Now.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is they don't play in game week 33. Right.
Yeah.
So we have this very funky situation right now where we have Tottenham playing twice in game week 32.
Right.
And I think this is because of the League Cup final in their case. Right. That's what that's what's throwing things off here. So so they don't play in game week 32 because the League Cup final is in game week 33 and they play Man City in that. So that's like a whole other monkey wrench too. Do they rest their squad at all at the week before that? Like need to win a
to
cup
play
at some point,
to play
right?
Who? Jose is so clearly contemptuous of every single player on that team except for Harry Kane.
That's true. That's true. And Son just got his rest. So those are the two.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking now I might not get a defender though for that double game week. I'm leaning more towards like a Lucas or something where it's just like screw it, like you know, not Lamella. I'll tell you that much. Lamella has cost them 5 points
good
in
God.
The last.
Good
two,
God,
two
yeah,
he's
a guy. Like, I just love that conversation. I don't know if you caught it on Second Captains, where there was this long running: was Lamella's Rabona and the North London Derby good or not good? And Ken Early on that podcast makes this point of that skill. The Rabona that Lamella had, you can only do something like that if you repeat it over and over and over again, which is an incredible feat. But then you're like, wait, roll that tape back. So when Spurs is practicing, Lamella is just off in the corner, just practicing Rabonas. And this is why he is has not had a career.
I mean, the way he led that 3-on-1 fast break. I mean,
he had no idea what was going on.
He had a moment. He came right out and he like skinned Paul Dummett on the right flank.
And it's very hard to skin Dummett, you know, because he's an elite player.
I'm not saying you know it wasn't like a, you know Andrew Robertson or whatever, but like it was still like a good. He put on a good move, and I was like, okay, like maybe he's like atoning for the red card.
You cocked an eyebrow at that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then so that was comedy. Him messing up that 3-on-1, and then of course them equalizing like seconds later. This is like this is just like the poetic justice of sports, right? You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
And then so they bring on Gareth Bale for a free kick. He does all the cool Gareth Bale stuff, right? He's like looking off into the middle distance.
Yeah, sure. You know, he holds up a sign that says, don't touch my hair.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure everything looks perfect. Like, does like the finger in the air to like test the wind.
Like,
know?
He's Babe Ruth.
Like Babe Ruth. And then he just walks up and he just casually boots the ball like 300 feet over goal.
Cool.
Like, the ball's still not come down to air, to the ground. He was just like, let's just get this match over with. I don't care. You don't care. It was so insulting.
Did he break the fourth wall after it? Like, he looked into the camera and said, hey, listen, you might be asking yourself how I found myself here.
I know, it was really, he might as well have. So this is the other problem with this. Is honestly the problem with any wild card. Although I will say I am personally leaning towards a game week 33 wild card right now. I think that makes the most sense. And the reason that I worry about a game week 31 wild card is that, let's say you bring in, I mean, Man City play Leeds, right? If there's any way to do it, you want to have three Man City players for that Leeds match, right? That just seems like an optimal situation. Because, I mean, Leeds are a talented team, but like, they're also liable to concede five to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Even let alone a really talented squad like Man City.
Yeah.
So you want three of their players. I think Spurs, you really want to have three Spurs, right? Because they have this double in Game Week 32. And, maybe you could have two right now and add a third before Game Week 32. But I think Everton and Southampton, like, they're not horrible fixtures. But I think at this point in the season, it's such an easy double game week to plan for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, most of us already have two players anyways, or at least one in Kane. So it's like, just get a third. It's just more fun. I'm not going to go to the only team that has a double game week and not have a third player. I'm just going to find a way to make it happen, you know?
Yep.
So you want to have those three, right? So, okay, now you suddenly have six players who don't play in game week 33. Right. It's like immediately, like, what are you going to field nine players?
So this is why I think maybe 34 is the better week to wild card, because 33, it's like we've already had the big blank of the season. And a lot of the talk heading into that big blank was dead end your team into this blank game week. And Manchester City being among the most important teams. And I mean, you could talk about, rotation is going to be heavy once they clinch the title, Champions League, et cetera, et cetera. I still actually want De Bruyne for the run-in.
Yeah.
And I think my goal between now and game week 33 is to probably build up my Liverpool ownership. And then come game week 34, maybe that's the moment where I want to pivot to teams like Arsenal and shed all my Aston Villa assets and things like that. Because those blanks in 33 could be trouble in wildcard planning.
It's tricky because that Villa double is still coming, right? They still have a match against Everton. I mean, as do Everton, right? Those squads have matches that have to get made up, a match that has to get made up at some point.
Yeah.
It'd be great if we knew when that was, right? I think the appeal to 33 for me is that I could kind of dead end into game week 33. Like, my game week 31 and 32 transfers wouldn't have to be built around that blank, right? Yeah. So if that's the case, I could bring in Danny Ings for game week 30 run, right? He doesn't play in 33. So that kind of creates a problem if I make that transfer. Mm-hmm. I could bring in an extra Man City player. The issue for me is that, let's say, even if all I do is not bring in a Man City player, and just have the two that I have right now, I have Diaz and Gundogan. If I just have the two Man City players and I have the three Spurs going into game week 33, then I am not going to have enough play. Like, I think I'm going to have five players, right? Who are, so either like, you know, I know I can keep three in the bench, but like, suddenly I'm burning like a minus four or maybe a minus eight, like a minus four. And that's assuming that like everyone else has like a decent match and is healthy for 33. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, God, like, why am I doing this to myself? You know, it's like, why don't I just leave, you know, Kane and two Man City players in the bench in 33, and then just build like a bunch of Liverpool players and stuff like that.
The way around that is just don't get three Spurs players for their double on 32.
Well, that is the other way around it. And maybe that honestly is the way to go. I mean, I know I just argued the other way. But I mean, okay, so yeah, I'm just like a total, like, I don't believe the strength of my own convictions or something, but like, I know as a human being, Brandon, uh-huh. there is no way I won't have three Spurs players uh-huh. for Game Week 32. So I can't even come on this podcast and say that I won't do it, because of course I will. I will have no choice.
I look forward to the Aurier bandwagon that builds for 32.
Is he even playing? Did he play
Well,
today?
So Aurier and Alderweireld, they reported back to first team training, and there wasn't enough time for COVID protocol for them to make the starting 11. So they're fit and they're training. It was just a COVID issue of why they weren't eligible for the Newcastle match.
Okay. Well, I'm going to scrap some of the questions that we had here, because I think that, we could spend 2 hours on this wildcard talk, but I think it was important to get into the philosophy of wildcarding, and when all the things you've got to think about in order to nail it. Because again, 8 weeks left in the season, like, you want to nail this, right? And also, just again, to go back to the game, the idea of a later, like a game week 33 wildcard, you know, it's just like, I don't want to make suboptimal transfers in 31 and 32 just to protect myself in 33. You know, like, it's, I just don't love that as a, uh-huh. As an approach. You know, it just seems like I'm basically not optimizing two of the final eight game weeks of the season, you know, in order to, I don't even really know, like, you know, just sort of have like hold on to three Man City players for the stretch run or something, you know? So, anyway, so that's sort of where my thinking is right now. Rishi has, FPL Raccoon has a bunch of questions. I called them a lightning round of wildcard questions, because I loved the way that they all kind of, he just addressed a bunch of different questions that you and I would have had to research and come up with ourselves. So, we'll alternate. Okay. I'll do 1, 3, and 5, and you can do 2 and 4. Okay.
Okay.
So, let's just each answer them in like 15 seconds or less. Okay.
Yep.
Do you buy and or keep Luke Shaw?
You do not buy Luke Shaw, but you keep Luke Shaw. So Manchester United have Spurs in game week 31. Good match, bad match, kind of a fun match. No, you tell me. But after that, it's Burnley Leeds. So I think Luke Shaw, if you have him, the prospects are good enough to hold on until maybe you rethink him when you do ultimately trigger your wild card. But buying him, I just don't trust that Manchester United defense at all. Yeah. As good a form as Luke Shaw is in, and as seemingly like it's almost like
well today.
It's like an indictment against Manchester United how reliant they have become on Luke Shaw actually getting crosses into the box. Now, obviously, that is one way to play the match, but with all that talent, somehow, you know, buzz cut beef boy Luke Shaw is the Mark Albrighton of Manchester United.
That's exactly the analogy I was thinking of.
It's very odd.
But otherwise, yeah, exactly.
I'm not buying it. So yeah, he's a keep, but don't buy for me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I mean, I don't know. Just give me like Stuart Dallas, and I'll just bench him when they have the really bad matches. Sure.
Right.
He could have like 2 goals yesterday.
Next question is for you, Josh. Gamble on Arsenal versus Sheffield United. So Arsenal, you know, we talked a lot about them last week about how they just have an incredible run of fixtures to finish the season. But you watch that Liverpool Arsenal highlights package, and there isn't a single second devoted to Arsenal. So they totally reset the clock. And so do you trust Arsenal at all, Josh?
No, I don't know. And I hate it because they made me look bad, Brandon. Okay. We went in here and we talked about their heart, how they were the unsung team of game week 29 and that West Ham comeback. And then they just, they stunk it up. So, I mean, I think what that tells us is that they are, I don't know whether to assess whether they're good or bad, but they are very unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I don't like to have unpredictable players from unpredictable teams.
There will be game weeks in which it seemed obvious that Lacazette should have been in your team.
Right.
And then there will be weeks where it's obvious that they're a joke team and you should not invest in them. So, and good luck figuring out which week is which before it happens.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is, do we keep Everton or Villa assets or sell and rebuy when the double game week is announced? We did touch on this just briefly a second ago, but I think it's an interesting and difficult question.
It is. So I still have Lucas Dean and have Watkins in Target. I just cannot believe we're coming out of game week 30 and I have not owned Emi Martinez for a single game week this season. It's a complete disaster class. So the way I'm thinking about Villa and Everton is I will keep them unless there's an obvious player that I want instead. I am not going to intentionally ditch Everton and Villa players just because I don't want them. If there is a better option, sure, come on in. But I have no problems benching the likes of Watkins or Target or Dean. I benched Dean this week and they have Crystal Palace because I don't love that Everton defense, all things considered. So it's kind of that might be a bit of a hedge of an answer. But I'm just like, if you have bigger fires to put out, which you probably do, do that.
Yeah, I think if you're wildcarding in 31, it is a tricky question because they don't have great fixtures kind of in the near future, right? I mean, Villa in particular, right? But they have a pretty decent stretch. I mean, I don't know. It's okay. I mean, they West Brom in 33, Everton, which I think is okay, in 34, Palace in 35. I'd certainly start Martinez for all of those. You know, what's interesting actually is just looking ahead here, Brandon, Matt Target, I mean, I only see maybe two matches in the final eight where I'd actually want to start him. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there is an opportunity to bring in some fresh blood for sure. And I think kind of what I'm saying is who is that fresh blood?
Yeah. I wish we knew when that double was. You know, it sounds like it might be 35 or 36.
Yeah.
If we found it early enough, then it'd be fairly easy to, you know, but Emi Martinez is not going to go anywhere. Like, even if it's just sentimental, he's going on my bench. Like, I'm not gonna drop this guy.
Well, I mean, he's just like
4.5.
Save points are his meat and drink. So you're not. I mean, you're starting goalkeeper du jour Edward Mendy and getting a big round zero, and Martinez just goes out there and it's catching practice for him every match.
I find it difficult to answer the Everton question until that match tomorrow. Right? I want to see fairly easy match. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, it feels like a match where they should win, right? There should be like a 2-0 Everton win. But we've also seen them get like lit up at home a couple of times, right? The Fulham match, you know, stands out. So let's see where we are. Maybe we'll talk about that a little more later this week.
Yeah.
So Martinez out. I think we both kind of feel like no. I mean, I think there's an argument for doubling, like for having two goalkeepers. But I mean, Martinez is going to have a double game week sometime soon. And like you said, save machine, even today, right? They concede a goal. He still ends up with 4 points, right? Yeah, so, right. He's not going anywhere.
Yes. Do we bother with City? This is the last question from Rishi. Do we bother with City? We talked about the difficulty of getting City assets in right now, considering the blank that they have in 33, and they have two big Champions League matches against Borussia Dortmund. If you look at the schedule, City host Dortmund this Tuesday, and then they go away to Dortmund Wednesday the 14th. So, it's the rotation headache, et cetera, et cetera. I think we kind of do know the nailed players, Diaz being one of them.
Right.
The way to clarify this for FPL managers is how likely are you to have have triple City in the next couple of weeks, Josh?
I think it's a really difficult question. I could see myself bringing in a City player this week. I really would love to have three players for that Leeds match. I could see myself just going with two kind of like indefinitely, you know, just down the stretch, like maybe they have like Newcastle and Brighton, Everton down the street. Like, I probably would have three for like the final three matches of the season, but I don't know. I mean, I think you have to have at least two because it just goes back to that, Fabio Borges,
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, sort of, we know him because he was at the top of the Always Cheating Super League for many years.
Yeah.
And I think he's having a good season again this year. Now he's become, you know, now he's part of the Fantasy Football Scout Network and has become kind of a renowned manager. But
be good at fantasy, kids, and you'll have a whole new career.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But he wrote something, I guess, I can't remember if it was last season or this season or whatever. It might have been from Joe's Meet the Manager series on Scout. But, you know, he just has this theory that you just have to have players from really good teams, and that you just, you know, I think he said something like, it's been years since I captained anybody in the bottom half of the table. You know, and I just, in general, he just really values. And, you know, it was that idea that led me to start Diaz this week, right? Just this thought of like, well, I don't know, like they're the best team. You know, so I'm just going to start the defender from the best team. And it's like, I don't care who they're playing. So I think you can get it just right with a move. I mean, you bring in Arsenal and it works out perfectly. But again, Arsenal are unpredictable, right? Man City have their rotation is unpredictable, but as a team, they're predictable. So I think as long as you have some bench depth, I think that you should just have at least two, if not three Man City players and just mentally kind of be ready for the rotation that's going to happen.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating. All right, Josh, let's step away from Rishi's lightning round and move into some team-specific wildcard talk. And Leicester is certainly a team where – another one of those teams where they have good vibes. You feel good about them. They have certain players who are in form. Iheanacho is one that, you know, we could discuss. They factor into the wildcard conversation. FPL Tips wants to know, which Leicester attacker would you go for on a wild card? And we've got Vardy, who's an option. He's only scored one goal since game week 14.
Right.
Iheanacho, he was in red hot form going into the international break. Coming out of the international break, he didn't do much for Nigeria, and he had one really decent dribble against the City defense where he kind of tried to unlock the defense. But beyond that, was fairly quiet. Now, I don't think that that's the match that, you know, Iheanacho's rest of the season should be gauged by, but he's a bit of a worry. You've got Madison, where clearly when Madison came on the pitch, he looked great. And I think the latter half of the season has been so good for Madison where you just, and I'm almost relieved because Grealish kind of emerged as an actual superstar at the start of the season. And yeah. Madison was just receding. And I feel like more or less he's risen to the challenge that Grealish has issued, and he's looked really good when he has been fit and on the pitch. So yeah. Would you go so far as to consider Madison an FPL option? And then just looking at the fixtures, are these fixtures for Leicester good enough to just definitely have them? And so they have West Ham in game week 31, followed by a really excellent run. Game week 32 to 36, they host West Brom and Crystal Palace, away to Southampton, and then they host Newcastle before their final three matches, which are kind of difficult, United, Chelsea, and Spurs. So it's one of those, it's like Chelsea, who like their better fixtures for the run-in are in the first half of this section. So it feels a little more urgent with Leicester. If you're going to buy into Leicester, you need to be doing it sooner rather than later. So where are you at with these boys?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I mean, I sort of was going into this conversation thinking that I was going to be kind of a little dismissive. And now I'm sort of, it's like I can see an argument for it, right? Like you have to kind of put the Man City match just off to the side, right? Man City are just too good right now. They're just having they've been great, kind of unstoppable since, I don't know, December. So that aside, I mean, they've been really strong. I mean, it's sort of forgotten because it wasn't in the Premier League, but they really took it to Man United in the FA Cup, right? In the FA Cup quarterfinals. And that was without Madison or Barnes for that matter, right? Mm-hmm. And, it's just, so, I mean, and Vardy is kind of interesting, right? It's like he hasn't scored since, what was it, one goal since game week 14?
Yeah.
Yet he had three assists last game week, which is just kind of weird.
He's trying to embrace his inner Harry Kane, where he's just going to drop a little. He can't run as well as he used to, those dead sprints. So he's just going to try and play his teammates in.
Well, it's genuinely shocking to see that he has 12 goals and 12 assists in the season. Yeah. Did you know that? I didn't know he was even on goals and assists in the season. That's crazy.
That is wild. Yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, did he score 10 against Southampton again this season?
I don't know. No, I mean, he had three. It was away to Man City. That was
when he got three in that one.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. Like, that to me seems like a real great, like, we're talking about, like, punts. Like, go for it. I mean, maybe not. I think Game Week 31 is a little tricky. But now you're sort of turning my head a little bit, Brandon, about this, but you're turning my head a lot of ways. My God, my head's just turning like a
Vardy did actually score against Liverpool, in game week 24, but I think that the goals are just okay. So your head's turned a little bit.
Well, I'm just thinking in game week 32, right? Like I could see, being very tempted to bring in, a Spurs player, right? Just pick a Lucas or whatever, or you just bring in Jamie Vardy, who plays West Brom at home, and maybe you just you just do that instead. And that does seem a little more appealing. Like, would I rather have Lucas for Everton away at home to Southampton?
No way.
Or would I rather have Jamie Vardy at home to West Brom? It's also the last match of that game week. So if you're one of those managers, and I kind of secretly am, there's something fun about having a really good player in the last match of a game week. It's just sort of adds a little spice, to the whole week. So, I think I see it. I mean, I guess if I was to pick anybody, I would just pick Vardy, even though I know he's the most expensive option, because he's just quality, and they're trying to actually hold on to the Champions League spot this year, right? They're conscious that they blew it last year. I mean, the way that they rolled Sheffield United a couple weeks ago, I think, should make us feel better about their ability to play bad teams at home too, right? Because they had a couple of weird home losses earlier this season. So anyway, that's where I am. What do you think?
I'm going to throw a curveball at you, and I'm going to say, forget Iheanacho, forget Vardy. Johnny Evans is your man. Because I think... the days of Justin are just a fond memory now, but I think Leicester's defense has been solid throughout a lot of adversity and a lot of injury this season. And Johnny Evans has been fantastic. He has had a great season.
I agree. It's so perfectly you, right? As far as this whole conversation gone, you're like steady as she goes. Six points a game week.
Let's go for
it. Yeah, let's not do. You're like it's like the Warren Buffett. Like let's just do the mutual funds, guys. Come on, it's like
this. Low risk, steady interest rate.
It's gonna pan out over six or eight game weeks. I mean, I think Madison. I guess I'm just, I mean, like, it's fine. Like, I'm sort of on record as I'm probably not, I should be more impressed or respectful of what he's done this season. I'm just not a huge fan. He's like a little too flash for me, or it's like, he's got a little bit like, I don't know. It's like a little, like he'll look really good in a match. And then you're like, okay, like it's like the LaMelo thing you were talking about earlier, where it's like, okay, why can't he do this all the time?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little, it feels like he kind of turns it on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair enough. So yeah, I think there is a balance to be had there between attack and defense for Leicester. But Leeds, what about Leeds? A team that has been a perennial favorite for FPL managers, but looking at the run-in, Leeds have some tough matches. What kind of decisions do you have to make with these guys when you've got a lot of other assets vying for your attention? Andrew yeah. Searles asks, Leeds, they have three rough games before swinging back for an easy finish. If you're selling, who's coming in? So let's look at Leeds' next three matches. It's away City, home Liverpool, home Manchester United, and then the run-in is actually quite nice. Brighton, Spurs, Burnley, Southampton, and finishing with a home match against mm-hmm. West Brom in game week 38. That is a Rafinha triple captaincy.
Oh, totally. The Pablo Hernandez farewell match, too.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have Aguero, Pablo Hernandez. It's an all-retirement party Premier League team. So that run-in really does make it tricky for me, because I've got the standard template Leeds triple up with Bamford, Rafinha, and Dallas. Of all the players that I feel are going to be the most consistent from here on out, Rafinha has just looked the best and the steadiest over the last couple of months.
Yep.
And the easiest move for me looking into game week 31 is Rafinha out for Diogo Jota. And I mean, I'm really talking myself into that move. But the problem is, if I were to have any Leeds player on a wild card, it would be Rafinha, because yeah. I do think Bamford has run out of gas here, and Leeds.
Rafinha clearly has not.
I'm sorry.
I said Rafinha clearly has not.
No, right? He's not. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. He's telling his own story, which you love to see that from an FPL perspective.
From Hamilton to Rafinha.
Yeah. So if you were to play your wild card today, Josh, like just hypothetically going into 31, would you have any Leeds players?
You know, I would still have Rafinha. I have to say, he's just incredible value. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not wildcarding. I mean, maybe I would talk myself into Jota, just like you're saying. But first of all, I don't see the Liverpool and Man United home matches as bad matches for him, right? So I feel like we're basically looking at one bad match, right? Mm-hmm. Away to Man City. I'm planning to start him in Game Week 31.
Yeah.
So one bad match and then... And then Liverpool, Man United, but they're both home matches. They've been really strong at home all season. Brighton, in fact, maybe the trickiest match of the next, outside of the Man City match. I just sort of favor them in all these home matches. And Man United, we were already been talking about, like, it's not, I would expect Leeds to score in that one. And then Spurs, Burnley, Southampton, West Brom. I mean, I just think, you know, it's like 5.5 million. Maybe he's up to 6 million now. He's getting attacking returns in like every single match. You know, it just, you know, it's a little bit like Jesse Lingard, where you're like, well, I know I could turn Lingard into KDB or whatever, but like, why am I going to do that? You know, like why am I going to like take out a player who's getting returns in every match for another player who might be able to do the same, but for 5 million more? And so I think that's kind of where I'm with Rafinha. I'm just like, well, surely there's some other spot where my money would be better spent than dropping Rafinha.
I think the what Andrew's getting at here is, if you sell your Leeds assets, who's coming in, leads us into Liverpool talk, because the question from Boston Prof is, if you back the Liverpool defense train now, e.g. Trent or Phillips, who do you get, or is it a mirage? And Stuart Dallas is a guy we both have who we haven't talked about, and he's emblematic of the value that you get from Leeds. Like, play him, don't play him. You know, it just makes so much sense for your team value to have him. But Stuart Dallas is definitely somebody who I would consider dropping in favor of a Liverpool defense. But the way I see this Liverpool conversation going is there are no half measures here. You either go for Trent or Robertson, most likely in this case, just based on the performance against Arsenal. Trent plays against Arsenal like somebody who definitely read all of the comments from Gareth Southgate going into the international break of yeah, you're the best right back totally. In the world, but yeah. not right now, boss.
Yeah.
So, and his cross to Jota for that goal was just like, it was a work of art. It was great. Yeah. As we have come to expect from him. So good vibes surrounding Trent. So then I can't turn Stuart Dallas into somebody as expensive with Trent. That requires some surgery. So Stuart Dallas may escape there.
Yeah.
But as I guess what I'm telling you, Josh, is Trent has got my attention. I'm listening. He's talking. I'm listening.
Yeah. And Rabo too. Right. I mean, yeah. Rabo's still a little cheaper than Trent. And at this point, the ownership, there was a time, and this actually was, around the time when I brought in Trent, where it made a lot of sense to go for him. If you didn't have either one, because his ownership was like 45% lower. And now like kind of nobody owns either one of these guys. So yeah. I think either one, I think, is a good pick. I like the idea of Trent too, just because we know how good he is, right? I mean, there's a reason he started the season at his kind of absurdly high price. So if he finds that form, like you said, I mean, playing for Euros now, right? So maybe, I think that those are both viable picks. I mean, it was impressive. I mean, they now have, what, two clean sheets in two, right? I mean, that Wolves match feels like it was a very, very long time ago. But now, Brennan, the question is, they're able to do it on the road. Can they do it at Anfield? Okay.
Yeah, they're famously terrible at Anfield.
It's so weird. I mean, this season, right, they've lost to everybody at Anfield. It's crazy.
It is wild. But it is all about the fullbacks, right? Like Kabak, right. Phillips. You can't fall into that trap. And that is the quintessential fantasy trap of you think you're just going to get away with it by getting this cheap player who you think is nailed on. But that's just not where it's at. That's not I guess it's less that's not where it's at. It's more that's not the point of going to Liverpool defense, particularly if you're looking to climb.
Yeah, and you just don't need them. I don't think this is like a season where every cent counts so much, right? Because there's so many good cheap players. So I actually do like Phillips. Like, this is a player. I like him. Like you said, I mean, just go Rabo or Trent, just because, you're just going to get so much more from an attacking perspective.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing you could say about Nat Phillips is the fact that he is 4.0. And he's, got three starts in a row. So if you are wild carding, I don't see Liverpool as a team where everyone's going to be like, it doesn't feel important that you triple up. So
yeah,
if you want to fill out your bench with Nat Phillips, I don't think that that's insane.
No, I agree. I don't think it's insane. It could really come in handy down the stretch. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think, well, that's kind of interesting. I don't know. It's really tricky because like those Stuart Dallas type players are still really tempting, or it's like, especially if you bought them cheap, it's like, just like toss them on your bench. You can use them eventually. And then on Salah, I mean, I think we're both on the same page here, but if on a wild card, I still wouldn't be bringing in Salah.
Jota is just so much the key that unlocks everything there. The evidence is in.
Yeah.
And there are so many other expensive temptations out there. And maybe it's less that there are so many like expensive premium players that you want that you don't need Salah. It's that there is opportunity to spread all that money like all over your team. Like there are so many opportunities.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Evans. It was easy for me to shout out Johnny Evans in the Leicester talk. It should be said that Johnny Evans is 5.5, which is kind of quite expensive for the proposition there.
Right.
So if having Jota over Salah means you could actually have a piece of Johnny Evans, I mean, just play this back for me in a couple of weeks and see how idiotic I sound. But that's kind of my point. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I guess that would be in Salah's favor. I mean, one, again, if you're making up ground, I'd probably try to find a way to get Salah. Maybe I just have like no expensive forwards or something. You just got like really, really midfield heavy. I think that'd be because the argument for Salah, and I would have Salah and Jota, would be that Salah, I mean, this is like dumb psychology maybe, but it's just this idea that he and Kane are going to be dueling for the triple or for the golden boot.
Mm-hmm. They're both on 18 right now.
Yeah, Kane's actually on 19 because the Braves took him one up. So, so 19 versus 18. And I think that they're both going to be, they're both the kind of people who will stop at nothing, right? To win that thing.
Wonderful, selfish, self-aggrandizing people.
We love it. We love it in fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more questions here. Two questions, I think. Well, a question about Spurs and then two about Chelsea. Chin Nation says, with Spurs defense looking inconsistent, or defense, Brandon, if you will,
sure,
is it even worth planning to have Lloris or Reguilón for double game week 32? I know we've already talked about Spurs a lot, but surely Reguilón deserves a thought.
I guess. I mean, I think Spurs defense is garbage. So, you know, that's all they I really have to say about
did
it.
Did not acquit themselves. Lloris had a couple amazing saves today.
He did. And yeah, the one where Dwight Gayle should have put that rebound in. The initial save was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Lloris really got his bearings quite quick. Yeah. And I will give him credit for that. But
yeah,
the whole season, Spurs defense has just been a huge disappointment.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, you try to bring in a Spurs defender and it just seems to hurt you again and again and again. And yeah, I mean, even just looking back, I mean, Reguilón's battled some injuries this season, got hooked in the 56th minute just a couple of weeks ago. He didn't leave with an injury, I don't think, in that case. I think he was just taken off, right?
I mean, Jose just hates every one of his players. I can't keep track of what was a spiteful substitution versus a tactical versus a hamstring. I can't keep track anymore.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, neither of us are feeling very enthusiastic about the Spurs defense. I'm with you. I mean,
Rodon actually looked kind of awesome against Newcastle, all things considered. But you know, there we go. Rodon is the new Nat Phillips.
I also don't think those fixtures are great. I mean, Southampton are a team that can. I mean, they scored three today. Like Southampton are a team that can score on a mediocre defense pretty easily. And Everton away. I mean, that's just straight up not a good fixture for the Spurs defense. So,
no.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
All right. Final topic. A little undercovered, I think, actually. We talked about them right at the start of the pod, but haven't since. And that's Chelsea. Stian says, this is more just like a fun question. Then I have a more serious one after that. Stian says, Werner, he seems broken to the core. No, that passed him out to me as a sign of pure fear of failure.
So there was this report, right, that Thomas Tuchel was talking about Werner, and he said Werner says in training, boss, I want to work on my finishing right now. And Tuchel was like, no, your finishing, it's like dating a woman. Like, if she wants to sleep with you, she'll sleep with you. Just let it happen.
Oh my God. I didn't hear that.
And the fact that Tuchel is coming out with this type of story in the press is kind
of... I'm not even sure if that's good advice or not. I mean, I guess it's...
I don't know.
Is that good? I don't even know. Okay, let's not even dull. Forget I said anything.
But like the lead there is Werner has no confidence to the point where he's asking his manager, what can I do about this?
Yeah.
So, and also the whole substitution issue that happened at halftime where Werner was actually in the dressing room thinking he was not going to come on for the second half. And then Pulisic doesn't feel something. Something doesn't feel right when he comes onto the pitch at halftime. Okay,
that he doesn't feel something. Yeah. But he gets halftime. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't enjoy this game. I feel nothing.
Pulisic came off because of ennui. But so it was like so many mixed messages from everyone going in through, out of, and into Timo Werner. I agree, Stian. He is broken to the core and he will go down in the history of this particular season as the biggest disappointment. And I hope, I mean, the player is obviously there. The talent is there. Sure. I hope that he bounces back and doesn't end up like, a soldado or something like that.
No. And he tries hard. Like it's very clear that he's trying hard. And so I feel like that's you know, it's easy to root for him a little bit, but yeah, I certainly would bring him to my fantasy team. I've also decided that I think that Tuchel advice is progressive, and so I think it's good.
Okay,
and I'm all going right. to yeah, but I need to think this one through. I'm going to talk it over with with a team of doctors and see
what we all come
down in it. Okay. The final question.
We got to get Dr. Ruth on the podcast to talk us through.
The final question here comes from Bread. And he says, or she,
a great bakery product just became a great listener of Always Cheating.
Exactly. With Chelsea's humbling defeat to West Brom leading to Silva being suspended and news of a trainer. Actually, the Silva suspension is a low key a bad thing as well. I know it's only one.
Is it? But he doesn't really. He's been injured for so long, and also Thiago Silva is over. Like his goose is cooked. Just like whatever. That was a bad. That was a David Luiz-esque signing.
But he's played a fair amount under. Actually, no, he hasn't. Right. I don't know why. What it shows what I know about Chelsea. It's just weird. I've not I have barely had fantasy Chelsea players the entire season, even though they've been quite good. So a news of a training ground bust up between Rudiger and Kepa. Does that put you off the Chelsea defense? Are their next four fixtures too good to ignore? All right. So the next four fixtures are Palace away. Pretty good. Quite good, I'd say. Brighton at home, also pretty good. Although Brighton, I thought they played with some real fire at home to Man United today, and I could see that same thing happening in that match. West Ham away, I don't think that's a good fixture. And then Fulham at home, pretty good fixture. So I don't think they're too good to ignore, though. I'm planning to ignore them, and I feel sort of okay with that.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely a situation where we were talking about with Luke Shaw. If you have a Chelsea defensive asset, good to go. Good on you. Hold with pride. If you don't have Chelsea defense, what you learned in game week 30 was relax. You know, there are plenty of fish in the sea. Now it sounds like Thomas Tuchel, like it's okay. Like, you know, if it's not Chelsea, it'll be another defender that will float your boat.
It's a total trap that people get into. I mean, I posted my team on social media as I am wont to do. Like, I mean, it's a very standard practice, right? Like here's how I'm looking ahead into the game week. And I must be like 12 people respond and be like, I can't believe you're going in without Chelsea defense. And I was like, okay, like, but you know, I don't believe in like building a transfer policy around like whatever the hottest team is, you know, for a game. I just, you know, it just feels like that's like, you end up chasing points too much that way. I think, you know, like you can't build a transfer on one fixture ever.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think the thing to further say to that is just if I can't believe you're going into this week without Chelsea, think about what that means in terms of the points ceiling you're talking about. Gone are the days of Reece James and Chilwell just scoring goals and getting assists for fun. The Tuchel Chelsea defense is built around the ceiling for these assets being 6 points. And that's kind of it. So if you feel like a Chelsea defender, Rudiger, as interesting as an FPL asset I think he is going to bury you in your mini league, it's just not going to happen. No. If there's a seamless, easy way to bring him in, cool, go for it. You could probably get a couple of clean sheets out of it. But this is not going to make or break your season.
No, I mean, I think it's just a little too, like, I mean, it's too defensive, you know, as a move. Like, it's too much coverage, right? Like, don't be thinking defense down the stretcher. Think about the Danny Ings types, right? Think about the people who could get 17 points in a game week. Like that's where you want your brain to be when it comes to these final, you know, Diogo Jota, I think, falls in that category too.
Right.
It seems like he's capable of scoring a brace like every time he's on the pitch right now. He's got to start over Firmino, right? I mean, I know they can do like a 4-2-3-1 or something. Like there's like ways to work him in, but wouldn't you just straight up play him over Firmino? Play Salah through the center?
Sure, you would. Yeah, but I think what we've learned from Jota at Liverpool is it kind of doesn't matter. He has had some of his best FPL points returns in matches in which he's come off the bench.
So
what that kind of tells you is that, yes, Klopp should start him. And also it kind of doesn't matter if he starts or not as far as him being valuable as an FPL asset.
And just one final thing on the Chelsea defense. I mean, I just find it stressful. Tuchel to me is like a really, like he's like Pep taken to like a further extreme, right? Where it's like, it feels really unpredictable who's going to be rotated in their squad. And again, 8 weeks left to go. I don't want to be bringing in players and I like not knowing whether they're going to start any given match, right? It's just like, they're not at like that Man City level where you're going to be getting, you know, I mean, like even like someone like Diaz, like, okay, you're pretty, it isn't like necessarily like a scoring machine, but like he certainly could, right? I mean, they get plenty of set pieces. Like, it's, you know, it's not impossible. And
he's done it once before.
I think he'll get at least one more this season. If John Stones can score like four this season.
Maybe. It's funny to watch Diaz on set pieces, though. He is not Vincent Kompany. Like, he doesn't. No. He has incredible defensive instincts. Like, to see him do a one-on-one defensive like backward sprint is incredible. Yeah. Yeah. He but to see him on a set piece, he cannot attack to save his life.
The one goal he scored was a really good goal. Like it was like a really, you know, wasn't like, it was like a 30-yard Kevin De Bruyne cross, right? That he.
Yeah. Yeah. And he and John Stones are like running to the exact same spot.
Yep.
It's interesting. Right, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. That would be an interesting bet to place at your friendly local non-competitive betting broker.
Exactly. We support or don't support any of them, Brandon.
Whichever
one you want us to be. All right. All right. That has been Wild Card Talk. I hope it was helpful. Brandon, let's take one final break. All right, Brandon, that has been the podcast. We have one final lightning round question. We're going to get our predictions on the record right now. Red Dagger says, who is getting relegated? Predictions now, please.
Well, I don't see how Fulham bounce back from that match against Villa, which is going to be soul-destroying. So Fulham, it has taken such an incredible amount of graft and determination and everything to get to the point where they could conceivably survive. And to collapse in the way that they did against Villa, on top of the fact that this team is just littered with low knees who, bless them, everyone apart from Ruben Loftus-Cheek has kind of done their part, they're going to be mentally and physically exhausted. I just don't see how they can take that kind of fight to Newcastle, or even Brighton are probably going to be out of reach at some point. The fact that Newcastle have Callum Wilson coming back next week from injury, so we're told, and Saint-Maximin is now fully healthy and came on and got minutes against Spurs. Newcastle just like is as silly as Steve Bruce is, as bankrupt as Mike Ashley is, Newcastle will survive. Fulham, for best of their best intentions, they just don't have enough. And I think come game week 38, they will be more than 3 points behind Newcastle. So I think what you've got here is Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield United. The table is, as it stands, they're going down.
All right, I'm going a little off the board here. I think Leeds, Palace, and Southampton are the three that I'm picking, Brandon.
That's an incredible shout. Yeah.
It's an incredible shout.
Talk to me more about that. What you know, how are Leeds going to pull off the greatest plummet of all time?
No, I mean, I Sheffield United, I think West Brom could actually be a player now, right? They have their five back of Fulham, but they've got a game in hand. And just looking at their fixtures, let's see. Sorry, I had to pull them up here. So they play Southampton at home, Villa away, Wolves at home, Sheffield United at home. I don't know. Like, I think that like there's some wins there.
Five back from Fulham, sure, but Fulham are in 18th place. That's still a relegation position. They're seven behind Newcastle.
That's true.
I just don't think there's enough time for them.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're actually eight behind Newcastle. So yeah, it's quite a lot. I'm not sure that I see it either. I think, you know, today you're right. I mean, it was basically a 4-point swing, right? Newcastle are losing, Fulham are winning. Newcastle get a point in Fulham, drop three effectively, right? Because they were winning late. So, So I mean, it's I'm not as you're a serious Fulham supporter, and so it may be a little harder for you to be objective. I still think that Fulham could pull it out. Like, I think they defensively have looked very strong at times. I mean, they have to recapture some of that form, some of that really strong defensive form that they've shown in some of their away matches, right? Like away to Everton and Liverpool stand out. If they could only play in Merseyside, Brandon, all their matches, then it might be different. If they could only play at Anfield every week.
Yeah, we love Liverpool.
But I think I still think it's going to be a race. I think there's a really good chance that Fulham host Newcastle the last day of the season, and then watch Callum Wilson score like a late equalizer to keep Newcastle up or something. But I think Callum Wilson alone may be the difference. Like, someone should have just bought Callum Wilson in these bottom two. Like, he costs like nothing.
Yeah, Newcastle did.
But yeah, I guess you're right. Newcastle did, right? Like, yeah, it's like they were the smart team. It's like they're always the team that like cries poverty, and yet like they're the ones that have Callum Wilson and St. Maximum and even who's the MLS guy? I'm sorry,
Almiron.
Almiron, like they have players who can actually score goals, right?
They've got some ballers, yeah.
Yeah, and like this is like I know I don't mean to be like totally, you know, whatever here, but like 3 points counts more than one, right? And it's like Fulham have done a very good job cleaning themselves up and getting a number of draws over the last, you know, 20 weeks. Newcastle lose a ton of matches, but they also win matches. Like these, you know, they just win more. And I think that's really the big difference.
Yeah. Scotty Parker's greatest success will be kind of erasing this season from history, going from, oh my God, is it the new Derby County
worst
situation?
Yeah.
To, totally. Oh good, we'll just never talk about this season ever again. So that's a win for the club.
Totally. I mean, exactly. They're in it with six. I mean, they're certainly in it with 8 weeks to go. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. All right. Thank you to everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed that little relegation talk at the end there. One last time, if you want to become a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/alwaystreating. We'd really appreciate it. And you get an extra podcast this week and every week during the season. And I noted this briefly in last week's podcast, but I'll just say it one last time. You know, in the month of June, for example, we're not currently planning to do any kind of, you know, podcasting. And during that month, we will not be charging any of our Patreon supporters. So just to, you know, if you're like, well, I don't know if I want to pledge late because I don't want to get charged for the summer. When there's no content being created, we're not going to charge any patrons.
Great. So, and I will take your lead there and give a big thanks to our producer patrons, the highest tier, the most elite tier. Big thanks to Trevor Egerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uwong, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadakis, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Bobby Stiles, The Future Media Group, FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjarya, and Rom Frosk. Don't forget, subscribe to Always Cheating. Give us a rating and review. If you have 5 seconds, listen, it just doesn't take you that long. Helps the podcast. Follow us all over social media. Visit us at our website for all this information and more. And that website is alwayscheating.com.
Thanks, Brandon. See you next week.
Poku forever.